champion.
Seconds from game seven or from championship number six. Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Timeout, Utah. 5.2 seconds left. Michael Jordan running on fumes.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Thank you for joining us once again. This is the official Man Cave podcast. Today is March 23rd, 2012. I'm your host, Kyle Huntsman. Sorry we skipped a week, guys. We've been really busy trying to get this website up and going. Had a lot of work to do. The 12thmannation.com was our official name. We were rolling with that. We found out that Texas A&M had that 12th man trademarked, and we didn't want to have any problems down the road. Trying to get everything transferred over took a little more work than we thought. Had a lot of things we weren't anticipating happening. So we had to put in a lot of work in this last week to get that up and going and transferred over. But it was successful. We got the site launched today. Jointhecave.com is our official website now. It is phase one. It's not the end-all, be-all. We're definitely going to develop it and get it bigger and badder every week, every month, trying to get more stuff on there. Just want to get something out there to add some more legitimacy to the business, a place that we can post information, get some members-only stuff going. We really want to get prizes, contests, promotional stuff out there, and we want to reward our members that are being a part of what we're doing. So jointhecave.com, launched it today. Great site, always looking to develop it, so stay tuned every day. Check in as a member, seeing what else we're launching. We're going to be rolling out some new stuff in April. Want you guys to go to the site to keep getting information with that. So really excited about it, guys. Today we have some fun things we want to talk about. We're always going to hit on the main sports topics that are the majority of our members right now like to chat about. As we start getting better soccer followings, as we get better hockey followings, I'll be more than happy to transition and give those a little more time. But right now, football's king, basketball's king, baseball's king. So those are the subjects that we're going to talk about. I want to first chat about the BCS, you know, with how March Madness has kind of gone with these big dogs falling. We've had some conversation about that. I want to give my opinions on what I feel about the BCS system as opposed to a playoff system. We'll start with that out the gates. We'll go secondly to NFL. Obviously, the huge news of Peyton Manning going to Denver. And then everybody's favorite quarterback, Tim Tebow, going to the Jets. We'll chat about that a little bit. And then we'll transition into basketball, talk about the NBA trades that didn't happen that we thought would happen. Players that surprisingly went. Can't believe Golden State did the Monta Ellis trade. Unbelievable. And we'll talk about the playoff races and where the playoff pictures are looking. Talk a little bit about baseball. I'm not a huge fan of chatting about baseball this early in the season. There's so many variables that go into the season, the length, the injuries, trades that can or should happen that don't happen. And so a little bit of baseball talk, but not much. Chipper Jones announced today that he'll be rolling in his last year this year. So what that means for Braves fans trying to get that last ring for him, they have pretty good pitching staff. So hopefully they can make a run at it this year for Chipper. But let's start off with some playoff March Madness slash BCS talk. As many of you know and are probably frustrated with right now, brackets are absolutely – mine's torn up, terrible – choosing by me this year. Obviously, some big dog went down. Missouri went down to Norfolk State. Duke went down to Lehigh. Some other big dogs have fallen off the charts too. And it's brought up this question of, is a playoff system what we should be using, or should we go to the BCS system? And I kind of sat back and thought about it and wanted to evaluate it kind of step by step, layer by layer. So I started with the BCS. And what it does good. The BCS, certainly number one on my list, and every time I talk about it, this is what I see the BCS as. It's an ATM. Boom, boom, boom. Putting out money, revenue generating for the big schools, the power conferences, the BCS conferences. It generates money left and right. Secondly, it does create reasons to watch the games every week. Some valid points have been brought up by our members on the page that even at the end of the season, when in a playoff system, towards the end of the year, if a team has a high seed locked up in that last week where you're still wanting to see fun, intriguing games, teams kind of put on cruise control because they need to, they have to. And so it does add legitimacy every single week for a team to have to perform because it has become the more and more norm. If you don't hit an undefeated season or at least one loss, two loss maximum, depending on the year, you're not having a chance to play for the title. So teams have to take every week seriously. Lastly, most of the time when we're watching these BCS games, we're seeing some great matchups. This last BCS title game was really good. Previous years, it's been good. And it usually does, according to the system that it employs, put two of the best teams in that title game. And so those are some things that the BCS the system does that it brings us that are the strengths of the BCS. The weaknesses, and this is for me why I don't like the BCS. I do not say that a team, the best team in the nation, is one that's played the best throughout the year. Some might say that, and some supporters of the BCS say that's why they support it, because it awards the team that played the best football from week one to the last week of their season. I believe the best team in the land is one that at the end of the year is playing their best football and is healthy, have grown together, developed together, and overcome adversity, etc. So it's not always to me the team at the end of the year that is playing the best football. That's the team that should be in those games. The Giants this year would not have been Super Bowl eligible in a BCS-type system, but they were certainly playing the best football. That is the major weakness of the BCS. And the second one, and probably just as important, is you can't tell me that in a given year there's only two teams that are the best teams in the land. There are multiple teams every single year that are deserving of that, and there's so many different variables that it doesn't take into account. What if multiple BCS conferences, what if those teams go in undefeated and through their season, their regular season, undefeated? I know it doesn't happen very often, but it's the what if factor. That's why the system in general has flaws. And I will put up with, me personally, I will put up with the flaws of a playoff system any day of the week and deal with some of the things that happen, like, for example, this year in March Madness. When teams like Norfolk State and Lehigh upset the teams that we all like to watch, those third-round games become boring. And yeah, rightfully so. But at the same time, that's the intriguing part. That's the fun part. Teams that are playing best, on a roll, hitting their stride, when it counts, in the playoffs, that's what I want to see. And yeah, it can create those type of flaws where we're seeing third-round matchups that aren't very intriguing. We really don't want to watch, but I'm willing to put up with that and see the teams that got healthy at the right time, playing their best ball at the right time, go on a run and earn it. And the playoff system doesn't always reward the best team. The best team doesn't always win the championships in a playoff system. It's who's playing the best. It's who's healthy. It's who's hit their stride. It's not who is the best team in the nation. The computer system tries to compute that. I just think there's flaws that really bother me. I hate the money-making aspect of it. That's one of the biggest reasons why we may never see the BCS completely go away. At best, we might see some plus round games that take, you know, these four or five teams and push them on to that next level and try to create a after the BCS playoff system. But I will take any day of the week, and I don't know what your guys' opinions are, I will take any day of the week a playoff system over the BCS. That's my opinion. Not saying it's completely right, but I like to see teams do well during the regular season to earn a high seed and then continually prove that they are playing the best and deserve the championship and earn it. There's other smaller aspects. I like the component of any team in the country that qualifies to be in that Division I, say, in the conference system they could or could develop. I like them being able to say to any recruit, any person that they go in front of, our team has a chance, even though it might not be as good as some of the big dogs, we have a chance to win a national championship. I can promise you that. It would bug the crap out of me to be these mid-majors and some of these teams that say, we can go undefeated and still not have a chance. That's a problem. You need to give these smaller conferences. And I know we're talking about these smaller teams and worry about the smaller teams getting their fair shake, and as opposed to the teams that play in these huge conferences, play against the best athletes in the country week after week, earn the right, play tough schedules. I know, but you can't have a computer predict who the best team is. You have to let, like it should be in every sport on every single level, Little League up to professional, you have to let the game decide who is the best on any given day. You have to let the game decide. And even though you're trying to do it by saying the season, there's so many factors that go into that. Sometimes you get a tough draw with matchups early in the season, health, injuries, player development. There's certain things that come into play that I don't think are fair to jeopardize a team that might be playing better than the number one team in the nation towards the end of the year. But because of that second week, third week fumble up where they weren't healthy, had problems like that, they struggled. So playoff system for me every day of the week has its weaknesses still. You have Lehigh's upset Duke, and you're watching Lehigh in the third round rather than Duke. But Duke, win your freaking game. You got the second seed. You're supposed to beat them. Beat them. And if you don't, I'm okay with you going out. The best team doesn't always win, but the team that's playing the best always wins, and I'm okay with that. So that's our first topic. Don't know if you agree, disagree. Feel free to come at me on the Facebook page and say I'm an idiot and debate it some more. I'd love to. Secondly, the big news in the NFL obviously coming, probably arguably the best, biggest free agent signing ever. I am shocked Peyton chose the Denver Broncos, and it's not because I don't like the Denver Broncos. It's one of those good, better, best type situations. I think Broncos have pieces. I think they're a good fit for them. I still think there's more to come as far as free agents being lured there, and those are the components that we're not completely given the information of, knowing what's going to be around him. But if I look on paper at the options that he had, I would have went to the 49ers. Top three defense in the league. As a quarterback, that's something I want. Young, talented wide receivers on the corner. Vernon Davis. They just signed Randy Moss. You still have Frank Gore in the backfield. A good line. I would have went 49ers. That's the best choice I think he could have went with. He went to Denver. Not a terrible choice. They have a great off. That's what's funny to me is it's almost like he took, and this is maybe what I think he might be doing, he took his bad and aging poor offensive line from the Colts, and he upgraded significantly. The Denver Broncos have a great offensive line. They proved that last year at the running game. You have to have a great offensive line to have an elite running game. Upgraded with Willis McGahee in the backfield. Certainly not the best running back in the game, but definitely better than Adai. And so I think he's still going to have to surround himself. Great tight end. But I think he's still going to have to surround himself on the edges with better receivers. But Peyton just makes receivers good. I don't know if you're going to see him bringing in Dallas Clark or luring some other guys in, trades, whatever. The defense on the Denver, their front's not bad. They're young, getting better. I worry about the secondary. Dawkins is aging, and I'm a Dawkins homer because I'm an Eagles fan. Loved what he did for Philadelphia all those years. But he's getting older. Champ Bailey's getting older. They still, it's Peyton Manning. He instantly puts them into legitimacy that you have to think that they became favorites. I don't know if staying in the AFC was something that he wanted to, knowing the teams there, knowing the guys that he's playing. But I would have even went with Kansas City in that same division. I think the pieces he had on offense would have been better. They have a great up-and-coming defense. There's plenty of places that he could have gone. I don't think Denver's a terrible choice. Obviously, it's the one that he chose, and he puts him right on the stage. He puts him right as one of the favorites now, especially we're going to have to sit back and see what he adds. I don't know this first year. I think they're going to be good, and like he said right off the bat there in his conference, this isn't a 2 or 3 year down the road thing. We're looking to year one to get going, and he's at that point in his career where he has to get going, and he has only probably, I think, 3 elite years left, if that. So I think that offensive line was a huge part of the consideration with how talented they are. And I think you're going to see him add some more pieces around him on that offensive side. Not a terribly talented conference anymore with some of the changes and with some of the teams. So I'm excited. NFL, I've said this last week, and I'll say it again, NFL couldn't be happier. They're going to get Andrew Luck on the field next year. They're going to get RG3 on the field, and Peyton Manning's going to be on the field instead of trying to do that whole 1-2 in Indianapolis. You already know my feelings there. We're not going to address it. But they get the best of both worlds, all their players that they want on the field to get ratings up, to get people excited about football. It's all going to be there. So I think this next season is going to be really compelling and really fun to watch. Obviously, with Peyton coming in, meant Tim Tebow out. And I am just banging my head against the wall, guys, about Tim Tebow and the fascination with him. Let me say this. I don't have a vendetta against him. I love the guy for so many reasons personally. He didn't ask to be drafted in the first round. He didn't ask to go through all the scrutiny. All he's done from day one is come in, worked hard, said, done all the right things. I don't have a vendetta against him. But if you tear back all the emotion, all the perception that ESPN's hammered on his back, he's a limited quarterback. Statistically, one of the worst in the league. He played his best football towards the end of the year last year. Obviously, was a big part of them turning their season around. They did beat the Steelers at home. He did some great things, guys, but there's a reason that he became available. The whole NFL, and granted, there's some teams that wouldn't even have picked up the phone. Your Packers, your Patriots, the Broncos, obviously. There's teams that the quarterback position is wrapped up. But all these other teams that have question marks, have this young quarterback, aging quarterbacks, they're wondering about where they're going next. They had a chance to go after him, and he ends up as a backup in New York. It was a PR move by the Jets, not a football move. They have a terrible locker room. They have scrutiny all the time about their coach, player, locker room, atmosphere, quarterback position. He is a good guy to have on your team to make your team look good, but he's not coming in there to be the starter. The question I posed the other day, it's funny to me. I'm not saying Mark Sanchez is an elite quarterback. I'm saying, and if you read it carefully, I'm saying between the two, you have no other options. You're choosing between these two quarterbacks. I am shocked that people say Tim Tebow is the better option for your franchise to go with over Mark Sanchez. Once again, I'm not saying Mark Sanchez is the end-all, be-all, best quarterback you can start a franchise with. But over Tim Tebow, Sanchez has a lot better skill at the position. I'm sick of hearing that all he does is win. He finds a way to win. In the NFL, that goes away. You have to have skill. You have to have the ability. I love Tim Tebow for so many ways. I knew that he, in this situation, he's got the taste. He's got the feel of being a starter. He wants that, I'm sure. Deep down inside, I'm sure he's a big bummer, even though he understands his paying. That he didn't get another crack at it this year with that Denver team. And I knew he would come out and say and do all the right things like always, but he wants to be a starter. He's not the guy that you would want to be your franchise quarterback. And it's proving around the league that the league feels the same way. Players say it. Personnel management said it. They had a chance to get him. If he was this great quarterback, they would have snagged him up from Denver, given the opportunity that he was available. He's a backup in New York, and it was a PR move, not a football move. And once again, guys, I don't hate Tim Tebow. I don't have a vendetta against him. I just wish people would let all this perception of media and all these different things and pull back and look at him. He's limited. And he has to have a lot around him. A lot of things have to go right. It's too much effort. And in the league, if you don't have talent, long term, it gets exposed. So I don't understand it. I obviously think the Jets brought him in to make the locker room more stable, to bring some good PR image to it, but it wasn't a football move. Going south there from New York down to New Orleans, obviously the death penalty came on the Saints, which the NFL had to. I think it stinks that Peyton had to have that kind of punishment, that all the players involved are getting slapped pretty hard here, but you do something wrong, you have to pay the price, and the NFL had to. The bounty system's bad. I don't care what you guys say. To incentivize a player hurting another player, it's going to happen. I went on a rant with my other podcast. I don't want to go into as depth, but you can't expect a player to have a $10,000 bounty and that he's going to stay within the rules and play the game the right way. You can talk about Little League and all these other levels, but it's a completely different ballgame. Kids hitting a quarterback and a grown adult man that it trains and is physically fit can seriously do damage to any player if he is given the incentive to with money. So it stinks. I don't know. It's still Drew Brees. He still has talent. I don't know how that's going to affect him. That might shake up the Saints and may never recover. Drew Brees is getting up in there in years too. And these guys get long the tooth pretty quick, and their doors on these elite quarterbacks, Peyton, Drew, Brady, we're seeing the last 3 years of these guys and these young up-and-coming quarterbacks are going to take the spotlight. Luck coming to the league, Griffin, I'm still not as sold on as everyone else is. We'll see. But these young guys are taking over the reins, and you're seeing these older guys wither out. So it might have been a terrible, terrible thing for Drew Brees and his legacy or his ability to try to get another one on the finger with his second ring. NFL is going to be fun to watch next year, though. I'm really excited to see how Peyton does in Denver. Happy that he's going to be on the field playing again, because I've always loved watching Peyton Manning play. Transition now a little bit to basketball. Obviously, the dramatic Dwight Howard saga came to the head with the trade line coming and him not going anywhere. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing about it. I'm glad that it's over. No really big major trades happened. I think L.A. Lakers, who have always been my team in the West, they got a piece. They got rid of Fisher. Wish Fisher would just shut his mouth. He's 37. He's done. He got more years than the L.A. Lakers probably should have ever given him. He got five rings. They had a chance to get better at that position, and they did. Once again, he goes somewhere, works out a stinking buyout, and goes back. Would have tried to go back to L.A. had he had the chance, but goes ring chasing with the Thunder, and I don't get the move from their part. They're a fast up-tempo game. Maybe that's part of him coming off the bench, trying to slow it down in the half-court set when Durant and some of those guys are off the court. I don't know, but I think the Lakers are still going to make a run at it. I've always said it. I think the same teams are smoke and mirrors. The Clippers are smoke and mirrors. I think San Antonio is great, but for some reason, just gut feeling, I don't think San Antonio is going to be legitimate contenders in the playoffs. I don't know if it's just because they're old. I just don't have a good feeling about them. I still think in the West you're battling with Oklahoma City, the Lakers. I still think Dallas has enough talent where they could make a push if Dirk gets hot again. But Clippers are gone. Denver's gone. Houston, Utah, whoever makes that bottom half, they're not going to make any push. I don't understand. People keep posting the page, what about you saying Utah's terrible? Utah isn't a very good basketball team. They play inconsistent. They have some great pieces that I love, but I Jefferson, get him out. Millsap's a role player at best. He's not a centerpiece of the franchise. These guys put up numbers because someone has to. When you have a team, someone has to put up numbers because someone has to score the basketball. So, yeah, they're putting up numbers, but they're not dominant, impactful enough to carry teams. I would have gotten rid of both of them had I had the chance. I still always love Devin Harris. I hope that they can keep him, but they need a legitimate guy that is their guy to count on every game, to carry the points, to play defense. I love these young guys. I don't understand. If you're not playing for championships, what's the point? And I'm not saying you have a fire sale and give these guys away, but if I'm not playing for championships and I'm playing for the bottom seller, I'm not going to throw games. But why not give these guys experience in these formidable years where you're not doing anything, you're not legitimate contenders? Why not give Favors tons of minutes? Why not give Cantor tons of minutes? Burks, these guys that are on the bench. And that's what happens when you keep people like Jefferson and Millsap around. They take away those minutes. And I always hate that argument. Well, they're tutoring these guys. Coaches develop players. I'm not keeping a guy around solely because I think he's going to be a good mentor. Jazz need to bring in Karl Malone to develop these young bigs they have. I don't care about Jefferson or Millsap developing my young guys. They know they should. They're NBA athletes. They're paid athletes. They should know they need to play hard. They shouldn't have to have motivation from these older players to show them how to play the game. As far as development goes, practice, coaches, that's what that's for. I don't keep a guy around because I need a veteran presence. I don't care if I go young. Look at Oklahoma City. When Durant first got there, They were a young, terrible team. They all played together, came up as a unit, developed, grow, and now they're at the top of the conference. Not trying to make comparisons between the two franchises or teams. I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with putting your young guys out there to have their growing pains and their mistakes happen in years that you're not going to do anything. Even if the Jazz make the playoffs, one and done, they're going to be out in the first round. Trade these guys while they have value. If you're going to keep Millsap, he needs to go back to his role that he was when he was first in the league, coming off the bench. He's not the guy that's going to carry your franchise. That's where Millsap's at his best, coming off the bench, playing against the second unit, not having to carry the load. And that's the problem, though. At this point in their career, they expect to play starter minutes. They've been starters. That's what they expect. And that's why guys like that in your franchise, this point in the career, with the organization, the team they have around them, that's why those guys can be poor for your team. And I'm going to get an uproar. Go ahead, post it to the page. I'll debate you all day long about it. The Jazz need to get rid of Jefferson and Millsap. Or get someone else in there for Jefferson. Millsap go back to his proper role, which is third, fourth fiddle on the team and on the chart. The East, I've been watching the Bulls, and obviously Derrick Rose is gone. Those, they get after on the defensive side. They play basketball the right way, defense first, play a pretty good half-court set, take efficient shots. Still going to go with Miami, but the Bulls beat Miami without Derrick Rose. That tells you something. They played the game the right way. I think everyone else is fading off. I don't think Orlando, even with keeping Dwight, even though they're third right now, it's kind of a formality because competing with them is an aging Boston team, an Atlanta team that's had that same core group that just doesn't seem to be able to get to the next level. New York, which it really boggles my mind because they have talent, they have pieces. I think Baron Davis, the whole insanity crap's gone. He's a solid NBA player. I don't know exactly starter, but he's a good player. There were some pieces and some things that happened during that Linsanity thing that ESPN once again blew up that went by the wayside. But Baron Davis, I think, is actually the better point guard for that unit. But you have Carmelo Anthony. You have Amari Stoudemire. You have Fields. You have Chandler. You have Davis. You have J.R. Smith, who I don't necessarily think is the greatest acquisition. But they have talent, and they're sitting at eight in what I think is not a very strong Eastern Conference from that middle of the pack down. Really strange. D'Antoni obviously out. Everyone talking about Phil coming back. Phil's been the big dog. He worked his way up in the league, rode Jordan's coattails, rode Kobe Shaq's coattails. You think he's coming back for Carmelo Anthony? No. He's not coming back for Carmelo Anthony. If he does, he's stupid. Jerry Sloan's been rumored to be interested in the job. He would bring that Jerry Sloan raved about toughness. I could see that being a lot more of a realistic possibility than Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson has been there, done that. He's sitting back, and if he's going to come back, he's going to do so with another type of player that's going to carry his triangle system, the responsibility, the load. It's not Carmelo Anthony, sorry. But Chicago, Miami, two dog race. Still like Miami. They're just too talented. But Chicago plays the game right in seven game series. Who knows? Like I said, the best paper team, the most talented team. And a seven game series usually wins because seven games, shooting goes cold. You have to play defense. You have to have talent. And Chicago can give them a run for their money. But I think Miami's getting about to go on a ring tear like I've predicted before. Still sticking with it. Miami, LA, that's my predictions. I'm going to stick with them. Baseball talk, I really don't have much to say. I don't like to talk very much about baseball this time of year for the reasons I kind of talked about in the intro. They're just such a long season. There's so many things that go into it. There's some teams that are set up great. I think the Tigers, if they stay healthy, they're set up great. The Angels, the more and more I look at their team, I think are going to be very tough in the AL. Yankees, you can never count out just because they're Yankees. Boston has a great paper team. So the Rays pitching staff is going to be great. The AL is going to be a fun race to watch this year. The new format, our own member, Mike Alho, posted a great article. I don't want to steal his thunder and his points because he made some great points that I agree with. If you're a member, log in, look on our Man Cave portion of our page. member articles. Mike Alho, great article about the new playoff system and why it has weaknesses, and some stupidity by Bud Selig once again. We don't learn after his stupidity with the All-Star game that he makes some poor decisions, and this whole new playoff format was a poor decision as well. But check that out, just kind of a side note. But the new format could provide some spark and some thunder that I guess could potentially make it entertaining, but I still think it was a dumb move. The NL, the Phillies are set up with their pitching. Their lineup's getting older. Who knows if Howard's going to get back in. I'm excited to see Miami. If Johnson gets back, that's like getting a big-time free agent for them, having him gone the last year. Probably the best left side in baseball. Great speed, great power. They're young. New stadium, city momentum behind them. I'm excited to see what Miami can do this year. It seems like they've always done their typical win World Series, get rid of everybody. I think now they're going to have some staying power with this new stadium and kind of new image. So I think Miami is going to be a new powerhouse up and coming in now. But once again, I'm just going to sit back and let the long, long, long MLB season play out. We have a fun fantasy format. Sorry for those of you who did not join it. We have a great reward. So it's going to be a fun fantasy league for the Man Cave. But baseball is going to be a fun year to watch. I'm excited for it. To kind of wrap it up, guys, I wanted to be more specific with some of the fun things we're doing, because a lot of you guys, I talked to you kind of on side notes on Facebook, text message and stuff. The Man Cave page was created and is out there to incentivize debating. We're not competing with ESPN. We're not going to have this interactive killer website that tries to combat what ESPN or any of these other things do. The website's basic simple, just because we really don't need something huge and monstrous and hairy right off the bat. It's based around kind of these three or four key areas. The buddy debates, you guys need to take advantage of this. If you have some buddies, we were going to do live debates against random people. They have prizes. We have leaderboards that lead to bigger prizes, on and on and on. It doesn't make sense for the majority of you to go and debate against people you don't know. Grab your buddies up that you already debate with. If you're sports specific and like soccer, baseball only, you can stick with those sports. You don't have to go all the sports and all these things that you may or may not know about. Create a league. Create all your buddies that's tailored to the sports that are specific to you. Create your own questions. Use our format. Get paid to talk sports once a month. Go out with your buddies, get some food. If you like to drink, go ahead and drink. Have fun with our system. Let us reward you with prizes. Create a leaderboard system amongst all these leagues that we can get the best of the best to come and debate and give away some cool stuff. Plasma TVs, tickets, jerseys, some better prizes. But we need you guys to create these leagues. We need you to formulate them for us, because we have the great structure in place. We just need you to do it. Secondly, the fan card program. It's not a huge, extensive list of great deals right now, but we have some set up: Wing Nuts, JSM Solutions, our own Man Cave memorabilia page, cleaning. We have all these fun services, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. The fan card program is going to be a fun incentive for anybody to be a member. The stuff we do every day, the trivia challenges, the promotional giveaways. Chance Terry won our Utah Blaze promotion. He's going to be sitting second row in the funnest part of the Utah Blaze section and have a great time. Sean Cole won our first giveaway for our tickets. He's going to get a Borcher jersey, I believe, if I remember right, a signed jersey, two free tickets, all part of his membership from the Man Cave. We're going to be giving away another set of those in April, so stay tuned. But promotional giveaways, that's what we do. That's the fun that we have. We incentivize you to come and talk sports amongst ourselves, amongst the members in the Man Cave. The next thing we're going to launch, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be the Challenge the Man Cave. It's a new thing we're going to set out next month. Details are coming, but there's going to be more incentive to be a member. For $5.99, combo meal price a month, all the jam-packed value that's in it, guys, it's a no-brainer. And the more members we get, the better we can make the prizes. We can go from giving away simple stuff like dinners and things of that nature, and get up to jazz tickets, get up to end of the year prizes like cruises, trips to Hawaii, trips to Super Bowl. I mean, big stuff. We just need the member base. We've contacted and been in contact with plenty of organizations that are willing to give us some cool stuff. We just have to get our member base up. So jointhecave.com is our website. All our information is on there. Sign up, be a member, get in, have fun, enjoy your membership, spread the word. It'll make this thing a lot more fun. Facebook.com/12thmannation for now. We're going to transition to a new Facebook page that gets away from that 12th Man Nation all the time, but we have so much in that Facebook page right now that we have to try to stick with it and transition slowly so we don't lose people in the process. But find us on Facebook. Find us on jointhecave.com. Tell your friends. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week, so stay tuned. Thanks, guys.